There isn't any of us that this won't benefit or help. And all of us, as you know, we have a room full of people here. Some of us are parents. Some of us are not. Okay. Some of us are, you know, waiting on the Lord for that. Others are, you know, past that time of parenting directly. Okay. But the thing is that what you are is some of you may be grandparents and those that are looking in the future to be grandparents or something of that nature. So there's, I want you to keep in mind that there isn't anybody this won't benefit, from the children to the bigger children, to anybody. And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to pray right now because I know Satan is really doesn't want me to do this. And there's a lot of confusion and things of that nature that the devil wants to try to raise up. And I know that because I know how he operates, because this will help people. And he doesn't want people to be helped. He doesn't, you know, if the devil can't take your soul, which he can't after you're born again, what he would want to do is to hinder you from your growth in the Lord. There are areas of growth in our life that we all need. And dealing with children and raising our children, raising a godly seed and seeing them serve the Lord, okay? Seeing them serve the Lord is of the highest importance. This is why we're here. We come in the name of Christ, and God gives us families, and we want to make sure that our children, as best that we can, that our children turn out right. And I'll tell you, I do not want to be in a place where I preach the gospel to the whole world and watch my children go to hell. So now I realize that I'm not God, and I'm also not them, and I don't make that decision, but I can do all that is in my power, right? And when I hear things like this and I learn from these things, what I take from it is I haven't done all this stuff right. Well, you know what? None of us have. There isn't one of us in this room that's done everything right. There isn't. We're flawed human beings. We've made a ton of mistakes. And we will make a ton more. And that's not an excuse. It's reality. But what I do want to do is inform you and do so you can do the best. So you and I can do the best that we can do in raising our children. So we can do the best that we can in the future for our grandchildren. All right? And always, whenever you get reproved and rebuked, or whenever you learn something new, the best thing that you can do is not live in the land of guilt. It is to repent of it, and then it is to move forward and take all of the energy. Not to look back. It takes a lot of energy to look back. It actually takes more to look back and to sit in that than to move forward. Do you understand that? It takes, you're wasting time looking back. What we need to do is move forward and take what we have and do the best we can do by God's grace. All right? And that's important. So that's what I want you to focus on as we go through this. We're going to talk about keeping the heart of your child. And as I did when I went through here and studied this, I could see areas of my life that I need to work on as a father. And I'm sure you're going to see some. And that's good. Because otherwise, we'd all have to claim that we arrived and we're perfect and we're there and we're not. Amen? So I want it to be used for God's glory. You children, you're gonna listen. You're gonna hear some mistakes your parents made, right? You're gonna hear it. That doesn't mean that they don't love you, and that doesn't mean that you know that you can use that against them. What it means is that you have grace in your heart as God had grace for you. Right? But I want us to really work on these things. I want us, look, I, again, my, what I do is, as a pastor, is to influence you with the truth. I can't enforce any of it except in my own family. Right? But I do want you and I to learn from this. I want us to, I really believe that this today that I'm going to teach you and we're going to talk about, I believe it is one of the most important things to this church's future. Not only to your own family and my family, but to this church's future. I absolutely do. I believe that very strongly, that this, what I'm about to talk to you about, it's something that is not popular to really talk about. And a lot of people don't like to break these things down. When you have a lot of these family conferences and these other things, most of them are filled, and husband and wife, most of them are filled with a bunch of nonsense. But this is where the rubber meets the road. That's what this is. So, it's important, and I want you all to pay attention very closely. I know it's a little warm for some of you. For others, you're just perfect. Some of you, like Lee, it could be 90 in here and he'd be fine. So, for the rest of us, I'm a little hot. I know you're not. You're fine. Well, your house is at 80, so Lee puts a fake number up there and makes you think it's something else, but really it's not. It's like 80. He's got it all trumped. He's got the whole thing. He telling you, I know, Lee. He's got the whole thing rigged. He's got fake numbers up there. You do think it's 75 in here, don't you? It's really like 80. It's really like 85. It's really like 85 in there. Never used the electricity. He's never even used it. Bill's like $26.35 for a whole month. Doesn't use anything. Don't flush the toilet! Oh, wait, there's nothing. Never mind, you can do that. They just pretty much live outside. No, seriously, when you drive by Lee's house, it's blacked out. It's like completely blacked out. Not one light on anywhere. I'm like, how do you do it? You like live in a cave. It looks like it. There's like no lights on in his house anywhere. That's why my bill's like $33.76 and yours is like $150 because I don't use lights ever.
We bake with
the easy bake. It's what it seems like. Like he literally like uses something like that. He plugs into the neighbor's outlet. Yeah. I've never seen anything like it, man. It's cheaper than apartment living. Lita, oh, he does it. Anyway, all right. But let's listen up very closely here. We'll talk about, I hope we get through all of it. That's why I'm not having a third session today of Baptist history, because I want to be able to get through this. There's a lot here. And anyway, so I do want to help you with it. Let's pray, and then we'll get right into it. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for your word. And thank you for this church, and thank you for each family, and thank you for each member here, and thank you for our visitors as well, Lord. Thank you for all that you do for us. We thank God for each and every person, Lord, and you've brought us together for a purpose and a reason. And Lord, it's to glorify you. It's to be conformed to the image of your dear Son. And Lord, I just pray that you just would expel any influence the devil has, you just not let him have any place or any way here, but that complete understanding and clearness and clarity would be given, Lord, and that Jesus would be honored and glorified by all that I do here today and all that we talk about. Lord, may you be praised in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like I said, I believe the future of this church, you're looking at the future. When you look around at these children, you're looking at the future of this church. You know, we have families, we see families here, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 children, 7 children, 8 children. They're 8, 2 here, 9. And that's like a whole zip code right here, along this line right here. But we're working on it. But anyway, so praise God that we have that. But with that comes responsibility. okay? And we have a responsibility to follow the Lord. So discipline, we're talking about discipline with children, but we have to come to the place of the heart, because the heart is the seat of emotions. It's the seat of all affections and emotions. It's the heart of the child that you want. If you have their heart, you will have everything else that comes along. Whatever comes along, whatever challenges come along in life, if you have their heart, then you will be able to weather the storms of those things by God's grace. That's what's important. Now, he goes on to say here, no amount of training and discipline will work if the parents do not capture and keep the children's heart. If their hearts become estranged from their parents, the children will experience spiritual shipwreck. Turn to Proverbs 4:23, please. Very important verse. Do you all remember years ago this series I did on the heart? Who listened to that series? You've listened to that, brother? Okay, you've listened to that. Have you listened to the back? Erica listened to like everything, I think. You were there. You were there, Luke. You were there, man. Luke was here for it. But if you haven't listened to that heart series, you ought to listen to it. I think you were here too, maybe, for that. I'm not sure. I think you were. Some of your children are too young to remember. That's long years ago. Yeah, they don't remember. But anyway, I remember that. And this is one of the verses that we talked about, Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. That word keep, it means to protect. It means to guard. It means to set a guard, set a watch upon. Keep thy heart. Preserve it. Keep it. With all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of the heart are the issues of life. So whatever comes our way, it our heart is the center of all of it. Dealing with all of it, it is. The wise parent says, my son, give me thine heart. Proverbs 23:26. Our job as parents is to get the heart of our children and never let it go. It is our duty. That's why, turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse number 26. In instructions that are given here in Proverbs, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Means that if I want their heart, it means that my ways have got to be without hypocrisy. We're going to talk about that. My ways got to be clear. So if I have their heart, that I teach them the right way. But my goal is for them to ask, you give me your, you trust me as I lead you. And that's really, you know, that's what we're, as parents, we're to do, is we're to lead our children. Amen? That's what we're to do. When children are young, they naturally give their hearts to their parents. And a parent can keep the child's heart if he deals with him or her in love and godly wisdom. Pastor Terry Coomer says this. He says, let me ask you a most serious and sobering question. Do you have your child's heart? You as a parent have to get the child's heart. Not only must you get the heart of the child, you must keep the heart of the child. I can hear someone say, Pastor, I knew a Christian family where there were three children and two of the kids grew up to serve the Lord and the one was a horrible rebel. The answer is here, the parents did not have the heart of the rebel, or he did not keep the heart of the rebel. You have to get the child's heart. The problem is, every spiritual problem is the heart. It is. Parents' rebellion begins in the heart. Children's lives wander because their hearts wander. The one who has the child's heart will eventually have his life and his loyalty. We have to work at it. It's work being parents. It's work. Now, here's some of the ways that a child's heart can be stolen from their parents. Please listen very closely. Number one, the heart can be stolen by parental hypocrisy. When parents are hypocritical and do not walk sincerely with the Lord in the home, the children become discouraged and frustrated, and they are easy targets for the devil. I want you to think about this for a second, because here's one of those. Let me ask you, what message would it send the children? Now, I want you to listen to this. What message does it send the children if, let's say, their mother dresses modestly when she comes to church, but at home dresses another way and in public dresses another way? What message does that send to children? It's a mixed message. It says that I don't really believe. I'm just doing this for other people to see me that way. Do you understand that? But before I pick too hard on the parents for that, the pastors are just as guilty, because what they do is they just tell you, well, this is just the rules that we have. So, you know, if you come to church, you know, or if you work in the ministry or whatever, blah, 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 you have to wear this, and it's this length of the skirt and all this kind of stuff, and that's just our rules. Well, why do you have rules like that? Like, well, why is it like that? Like, what's the purpose of that? Why is it bad for, let's say, Will Smith's son to wear a dress, but it's not bad for a woman to wear breeches? Like, why is one bad, not the other? Right? Come on. That's called consistency. If not, it's called hypocrisy. You want to lose your children's heart? Then you go ahead and live a mixed message in front of them to confuse them. Because that's what it does. It means that, well, mom and dad really don't believe this. I mean, they just do it when they go to church. Isn't that what you would take from that?
Right.
Right? That's because kids are smarter than what you give them credit for.
Right.
Like, they look at that, they see that, like, they're not dumb. They know that. They know that you're either sincere or you're not. You either believe it or you don't. Here's another one. If we're angry, if we're bitter, if we're mean, if we're not kind to our children, if we're not loving and we don't spend time with them, but then we go to church and sing praises to God, or we go serve in the ministry or go soul winning or preaching or whatever the case may be, but we're not kind to them, we don't love them, we don't spend time with them, and we don't teach them and train them, what do they get from that? Well, the Bible says do all these things and you don't do them. What is that? It's hypocrisy. And then what it does in their hearts is it builds up anger. It builds up bitterness. It builds up rebellion. Number two, the heart can be stolen by an unwholesome husband and wife relationship. This is so true. You know, having a loving relationship, a father and a mother loving each other. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as in the Lord. You know, if that husband and wife relationship is wrong, you can lose the heart of the children, because they'll see it that there's not that love there. There's not that tenderness, and there's not that softness, and there's not that love. And I'm going to tell you what, you may think you can hide that from your children, but you are fooling yourself if you believe you can do that. You cannot hide that from your children. They see it. They know what love is, and they can see it. And that's why we have to show it to one another. If you look inside your child and you see a little bit of hardness, look in the mirror for where it came from. Come on. I know. It's tough. It's tough. Listen, it'd be easier for me if I didn't talk about any of this, right? But I wouldn't be right if I didn't. I'm just telling you, it matters how you treat one another. That you're gentle and you're kind to one another when you in your dealings with each other. Yeah, there's a time you got to be stern. There's a time when things like that have to happen. I get that. There's important times for that. But listen, friend, there's also a time when you got to, when there, most of the time, and the general time of that is that there is love and affection and compassion showed to each other. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, it matters. God didn't put it in there as a grand suggestion for husbands to love their wives or to wives to submit to their own husbands as unto the Lord, right? God didn't put that in there just for like a suggestion for you to think about doing. That love those commands in there and that teaching in there for a purpose and a reason. And it affects our children. As we've said, one of the most important things a father can do for his children is to love his wife. And one of the most important things a mother can do for her children is to love her husband. One person said it this way: having a loving relationship that is ongoing with your wife helps keep the children's hearts. When the children see that, they know they have a place of security. Giving your spouse love and affection for the children is a positive as well. Amen. Hugging your wife and holding her hand and just showing love and affection one to another. That's important for kids. That gives the children security. Oh, they think, oh, that's gross, or that's this or that. You know, they say that, but it gives them a security. Because they know that their home is stable, mom and dad loves each other. And whatever comes their way, whatever, if all the forces of hell come after them, but if they see that those two people, their parents, love each other as Christ commanded them to, they know they'll get through whatever happens. They know it. And there's stability there. That's important. Children have to see it. Amen. They have to see it. They need it. So that's important that there's a good relationship. That means mom and dad, we have to work on our marriages. We can't just let them go. We got to talk to our spouses. You got to pray with your wife. Amen. Every night before we go to bed, not sometimes it doesn't happen, but most nights before we go to bed, my wife and I, we hold each other's hand in bed and we pray together before we go to sleep. That's so important. To pray with each other. That's so important. You ought to take that time. You ain't too busy to do that. You're not too busy to do that. You got to take the time to love your family and love your wife. And I'm going to tell you what it is. It ain't got nothing to do with time. It's got to do with your big fraidy cat. Your big baby. You don't open up your emotions to your wife and show her you actually have some. And this was supposed to be nice. I was supposed to be soft and tender and like a big old teddy bear here. But that tie tightened up a little bit. Neck getting spread out. The bullfrog coming out here. But listen, I'm saying, you know, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to open up to your wife. Don't be afraid to love her. Wives, don't be afraid to love your husbands and show affection. You got to work on that if you think you can somehow get around that and trick your kids or something into believing that. You're crazy. You will not do that. I'm telling you, children know what love is. They because they have such innocence about them. They see it. They know what it is. They have it. It's in them. It's in them already. Amen? Come on, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. I promise. It'll sting a little bit. It stings all of us. We're all, hey, listen, these jokers that are out there with their, hey, these jokers, that we're all in this together. You know, these guys out there with the masks and all their COVID stuff, and we're in this together. Well, they're lying. But let me tell you something. We as a church, we as God's people, we as families here, we are in this together. We are. This is the church that the Lord has put us in. And we have to march forward, and we have to do all we can do to preserve every single child. That they not be lost. And we have to do all that we can do. If we end our lives and we've obeyed God and we've done everything we can, I can die and go into that ground and know that I did what God wanted me to do. And I pass it on to the next generation. And I was faithful to God. And you better know the same thing. You and I, when our hour of death, we ought to be able to say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And that goes along and I pass it along to my children. I did what I was supposed to do. And we ought to be able to say that. That's why we've got to work on it. We have to. It's important. Number three, the heart can be stolen when a father provokes his children to wrath. Turn to Ephesians 6:4. You know, I think it's interesting. It doesn't say mothers, provoke not your children to wrath. It says fathers. Now, they're not supposed to either, but this is square on our shoulders, guys. We can't get around this at all. Because of our nature, and God knows it, and because we're men, God knows that as well, that he wrote this, and it says here, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Listen. I have seen it, where children, their fathers provoke them in that sense, and they end up growing up angry and bitter and mad or with a ton of emotional issues. And a lot of it stems from fathers. It stems from the father. It's very important that we are careful. Look, God didn't put this in here because you didn't need it. He put it in there because we need it. Because we are capable. And I can promise you one thing. You and I could go to 100 different churches this week, 1,000, let's say, and they're not going to preach on this stuff specifically. Just like they don't preach on women submitting to their husbands, and they don't preach on women's attire, and they don't preach on it. And the reason why is because people won't handle it. They won't stick around. I have more faith in God than that. And number two, even if you didn't, if it benefited my family for the Lord because God called me to do it, I would still preach it. If everyone left and I was in this room by myself, I would still do it. And that's happened before during COVID. But anyway, well, only Luke was with me. Only Luke. I had my Paul moment where only Luke was with me. Right, Luke? Only Luke is with me now. See, when COVID hit, Brother Brandon, we for like 3 weeks or so, we decided we'll just check it out to see if it's real or not. And, you know, if everybody's going to die, we'll know, I guess, in a few weeks. But anyway, after that, we were like, okay, we can't do this anymore. We're going to meet as a church no matter what. So we did. But before that, only Luke was with me. So, you know, Paul talks about that. He said, you know, only Luke is with me now when he was by himself. So I got my own only Luke is with me moment. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, amen. These are Bible times. That's right. Amen. That's right. So anyway, Luke helped me organize all that and put everything on there. And that was a blessing. So, but you know, when it happens, the father loses the heart of his children. They're easy prey for the world. If you make your children, if you provoke them to wrath and they get angry and they get bitter and they turn away, you can lose them. You can lose them. By the way, that's just not one isolated incident. That's a continued succession of continual anger and wrath and provoking by your own anger and bitterness in the heart that you have to deal with. By the way, you do remember that this is written to save people.
Amen.
He's not talking about lost people here. God's people tend to want to get an out, right? With that, like, well, he must be talking. No, he's talking to the saved. Yep. He's saying, provoke not your children to wrath. Why? Because you can. And you do. At times. And I do. And we have to get it right. Amen. He talks about this in the child discipline that we talked about. But anyway, that's one of the major reasons. You want to lose your children's heart, you just be angry with them all the time. Or you provoke them to anger. You'll lose their heart. Number four, the heart can be stolen by parental neglect and letting the children live largely in their own worlds. This is important. Please listen to this. One missionary who has visited many churches has observed how that a great many of the young people turn out to be rebels. He observed this. I think the most important thing would be to keep close relationships with our children. Lots of parents are too busy with other things instead of being spiritually close to their family. Children grow up in their own world with their video games, movies, music, headphones, internet, etc., which causes great rebellion. Once they are old enough to choose for themselves, they will go their own way and not listen to their parents. Now, listen, let me say a few things about that. I don't mind. I let my children listen to some things that I screen for them on headphones and things, but they're not allowed to do that when they're in a room with people. When you're in a room with people, you're not allowed to do that, okay? When you're at home and we're like sitting at the table, you're not allowed to pop your headphones in and act like you're not here. You don't get to be in your own little world. We're a family. We're going to sit together. We're going to talk together. Now, like Lucius, if he goes and walks the dog or something, say, sure, you can put him in. You can listen to the music and the stuff that we have on there. That's fine. I screen everything he has on there. You can listen to it. That's fine. But you're not going to be playing on a phone and all these things. And you know what? Likewise, parents, we got to be careful to show the same respect to our families and not be on computers and phones when we're needed to have conversations. Now, if there's work stuff, I get it. If there's stuff that you need to get done, I get it. But that shouldn't be our lives. We shouldn't be like tied to these computers and tied to a smartphone or tied to our work and ignoring our children when we're at home. Because they're going to grow up to ignore you and everything that you stood for. So we have to break that habit. And the Lord dealt with me about that months ago. And I was like, you know, probably a year ago, and I started like getting rid of a lot of that stuff and weeding it out of my life. And about 4 weeks ago, about a month ago, I got off social media, period. And man, oh man, oh man, is it a blessing. It is a blessing to be off of that mess. You know, not to, you know, so we want to be a good example to our children, but at the same time, don't let them go live in their own worlds. When there's adults around, when there's people around, you talk, you converse, you join the conversation, you're part of the family. You don't go off into your own little world. Because that's how you breed rebellion and distance. We don't want to do that. All right? We're not teaching them correctly by doing that. So we got to be careful about that. Number five, the heart can be stolen by lack of patience and love and by carnal criticism. Lack of patience. You never had any problems with that, have you? Yeah, we all have. That's right. Parents must be very patient. What's that? Yeah, exactly. No, probably not. Parents must be very patient and kind with their children. They are delicate. We must have rules, and the rules must be enforced, and there must be discipline. But we must never forget that they are children and that learning godly character, habits, and spiritual growth does not happen overnight. It didn't happen with you and I, did it? We didn't learn all these things overnight. It's a long process. The parents must not forget the long and probably arduous process it took to get them where they are. It takes a long time, right? So we've got to be patient. We got to show patience. You want everything to happen overnight, and it doesn't work that way. Their growth, it doesn't happen that way. You want absolute 100% perfect behavior and everything else, and you don't have that, but you expect it out of them. Right? Come on. It's true, isn't it? We expect that out of others, but we don't have it ourselves. Many of the respondents mentioned the necessity of showing genuine love to the children. Give lots of hugs and tell your children frequently that you love them. Even if this gets a bit syrupy, they said, do it anyway. Children want this, even if they pretend not to. I mean, God made you to have natural affection. He made your children to be hugged. He made you to be hugged. He made you to do that. Right? That's natural for a kid. That's natural for you. Really, and if you don't have it, it's because you didn't get it probably when you were younger, and now you don't show it to others. But guess what? You can break that.
Amen.
Because it's, you know what I like about being wrong? The only thing is that I can get it right. Do you understand that? I could start practicing good things, even though I was wrong for so many years. Hey, there's a lot of topics I was wrong about, a lot of things I've been wrong about for years, right? A lot of things you were wrong about for years. God showed you the truth and you said, okay, I'm going to follow it. That's like this. Some of you, you're like, I'm just naturally not very huggy of a person. Well, that's okay. You may not be, but you're going to learn to be. Right? You got to learn to be. Your children need that. They need your affection. They need to know that they're loved. Amen. They need proper biblical affection. You know what that does for them? It teaches them what that is. Right? It teaches them what that is. Children want their father and their mother to hug them. They want that. It gives them security. I know it's crazy to think about because you're like, how is this even something that we have to talk about? Because we live in a society of a bunch of zombies. And if our parents were like the most awful parents in the world that were hateful, spiteful, didn't love their children, just threw you out and let you do whatever you wanted to do, but we're mean and nasty and angry all the time and mad all the time and bitterness and wrath, then you never grew up and you never learned to love like that. You never learned it. In fact, you learned the opposite. Or you might have learned unnatural affection and things that you shouldn't have, and that would ruin you on natural affection, make you afraid of it. Oh, don't let the devil do that to you. Don't let the devil make something clean dirty. Don't let him do that to your mind. Don't let him do that to you. Don't you give in to that. That's a bunch of lies. You love as Christ loved. And you love your children. And you hug them. And you love them. You put your arm around them. You let them know you love them. Amen. Don't you worry about any of that nonsense. You follow the Lord. That's right. John rested on Jesus' bosom. You couldn't imagine doing that, could you? As an adult man. Amen. Right? So the Bible talks about that. The Bible says very specifically those things. That's right. They greet each other with a holy kiss. Right? I want you to understand something. There needs to be that love shown. Don't neglect that. Your children need it. It's important as a parent to show your love and acceptance of them consistently from the beginning. Saying I love you, hugs, and actions that support these words are constantly needed to reassure them. Children need reassurance. They do. Why? It's a wicked world we live in. It's terrible. It's rough. They need it. They need it. Young people don't need good teachers as much as they need ministers with a pastor's heart. They need to know that they are cared for before anything else. It means just a care. He's talking about the aspect of caring for one another. Care. That you show it. You know, young ladies, girls, they've got to have their fathers, they've got to have their father's hugs. It's all appropriate and biblical. They need their father to put their arm around them, to pray for them. My daughters hold my hand when we're walking in public. Probably looks weird to some people. They probably got different. They probably think that's weird. Because most of their girls are already half naked running down the road already. By themselves without a father. But girls need their father's love. They need it to grow up proper. They need to see a husband love their wife properly so they're raised properly so they understand that. Amen. It's important. Very important. Number six, the heart can be stolen by a lack of close communication and involvement. You know, this is something that I'm learning as my children get older. And I'm definitely the first one to tell you I haven't arrived at anything special from that standpoint. But many respondents, he said to our questionnaire, mentioned the importance of listening to your children. Listen to your children. Really listen and try to understand what they're going through. Have conversations with them. Talk to them. One of the things Lucius and I do about we try to do it every night or every other night. It ends up being every other night usually. But we'll go out for a walk for a couple miles and we'll just talk. We'll go out there, and right now we're sweating a little bit out there, but we go for a couple miles for a walk, and we just talk. And he just unloads everything on me about all kinds of stuff he's been studying and reading and looking at and interested in. I ask him what he's reading in his Bible and talk to him about the future a little bit. And just some time with him, just to talk with him. You know, yesterday, the little girls and I, I went to the store twice yesterday. My goodness, I went maybe three times. I don't remember. A lot of times. Well, the first crew went with me, a couple girls. They went with me. And then I went back. And the little ones, Prudence, looked at me and was like, well, what about me? Prudence is in this phase now where she goes, where's mine? I mean, she's... She's 2 years old. She's looking at me like, well, where's mine? I'm like, you don't eat a whole meal. What are you talking about? Like, we were at some restaurant one day and bought all the kids little meals. Where's mine? She just threw her hands up and said, I'm like, she gets it. Oh no, she gets it. But she knew it, right? She's like, where's mine? Okay. Did you? I was with, then we took the two little girls, the two littlest one, Prudence and Charity. Now, I'm giving this for an example because it takes twice as long.
Everything takes twice as long. Everything takes twice as long. Maybe three.
But here's the thing about that. I know, Carrie. I know. Try taking all of them. I know, Carrie. I know. My wife. I know. She went to the store the other day with a bunch of them. I know. I wasn't there. But anyway, but here's the thing, right? They want to spend. So the other two said, well, they got to go with Dad, so I should get to go with Dad. So now Prudence and Charity, me and her and Grandpa, we got in the big van and we went off to the store and had to pick something up and we went there and it does. But you know what? Moms, dads, it takes that long, but you're training them and you're spending time with them. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you can bake it better. It doesn't matter if you can make it faster. It doesn't matter if you can cook the meal faster. It doesn't matter if you can do this faster. That doesn't matter. What matters is that you're spending the time with them. You're investing it in their lives. You're talking to them. You're showing them and teaching them. That's what matters. And that's something God convicted me about the other day again. That, you know what? It doesn't matter. You only have this short amount of time with them. And you think it's long, but pretty soon you blink and they're 18. Oh, yeah. Right, Brother Paul? And they're men. And it's gone. It's fast. It flies by. So we ought to cherish every single time that we have with them. We should, and we should not forget that these times are limited. They're not always going to be there. You think, you know, your house is full now, you have all this stuff, you don't have room for anything? Well, that's me. But all those things, but you know what? One day, you're going to look around, and no one's going to be there. That's true. You're going to be like, what? Nobody broke anything today. Nobody ever breaks anything anymore. Then your grandchildren will come over and break everything. So then you'll feel at home again. Anyway, but take the time. Listen to them. Take an interest in the things that concern them, even if they seem very trivial to you. You know, for instance, last night, half an hour before Lucius went to bed, he was like, you know, he had this racing game and he wanted me to play it with him. So we played it for half an hour. Just sat there and played it for half an hour. And he enjoyed it. And I did too, because I won. So, so I enjoyed it. When I lose, I say I'm done. That's it. Tired of that. Huh? I did lose a couple times. He actually did beat me a few times. But look, no, I have to use the old-fashioned Nintendo thing. I have to anyway. And he likes, for instance, he likes cars. So he's always talking to me about all these cars. And I don't have a clue what he's talking about. I don't know what they are. He gets all these big names. I don't have a clue. And I'm like, okay, wow. Well, it sounds cool, but I just don't know what he's talking about. But you know what? It's something that interests him. Right? So, amen for that. So we need to listen. When they come to you and want to talk, it's important that you listen and don't jump all over them or belittle their concerns. Then they feel safe to confide in you. or bring their questions to you and have opportunities to teach and instruct their open hearts. You got to keep those lines open. Keep them open. He says this, I'd like to share a piece of advice that someone gave me when we adopted our twin daughters in the 1990s. And that is, you can't spend too much time with your children. That's it. Spend time with them every chance you get. Even if you are just in the room doing something else, be there. Be a presence in their life and talk at every opportunity. Always welcome their point of view and family decisions. If they know they are being listened to, they ride along. Now understand, it's their point of view. That doesn't mean you're going to follow it. It's nothing wrong with asking them what they think. You want to know what's in their heart about that. You want to know if you make a decision, if they're harboring bitterness because of it. And if you work with that and you reason them through those decisions that you've had to make as a family, then guess what? Then you draw it out of them and you can reason with them and you can show them. And then, you know what I mean? That's not going to change your decision. I'm still the father no matter what. But it doesn't mean that I don't care what they think. It's, you know, it's a similar thing, but not quite the same. Obviously, your wife's opinion is going to weigh heavier than your children's. But my point is that you may make the decision as a husband, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't have the input of your wife. Don't ever be so arrogant as to think that your wife couldn't give you a good opinion or some good understanding about something, you know, that you didn't know, or maybe something you didn't consider. You know, you've got to always be willing to listen. You know, one thing I told my wife, there's only one thing that I won't do with you, there's only one thing that I won't do for you, and that's disobey God. I can't do that. But I will, but I can listen. And then I can work out those objections and I can talk about it. And sometimes maybe my children or my wife, they're not going to like the decision I made and they have to live with it. But at least they know that they were heard. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't make you less of a man. It's just like as a pastor, there's some decisions that I make because I'm the pastor, and that's just the decision that God's given me. There's others that I want your input, and I talk to you about it, and I bounce it off a few people because I care about what you think. You know what I mean? Now, if God's already said it, I really don't care what you think, okay, when it comes to that, because we're going to obey God. But that doesn't mean I wouldn't listen, and I wouldn't try to. See, that's how you get things out that are harboring inside. People get stuff harbored and stuck in their heart that they're dealing with because they don't communicate and they won't talk about it. And a lack of communication is always a one-eyed monster in any relationship. If you want to ruin a relationship or make people ugly or your enemies, just don't talk to them. They grow a third eye in the middle of their head. Their teeth grow out about 3 foot from their mouth. They grow tails like scorpions in the back. And they literally look like the most hideous beast you've ever been around in your life. But guess what happens when you start to talk to them? The tail falls off. It becomes vestigial. It falls off. The tail falls off. The eyeball, it sucks back in. There's no longer an eyeball in their forehead. Their fangs suck back in, and they actually become a person again. The horn comes out. Yeah, the horn, yeah. What am I mean by that? What I'm saying is that without communication, everybody's like a one-eyed monster. You start to build up this animosity towards people, and your family, your wife, and your children can build up that animosity if you're not talking. And you don't even know that's in your child's heart, but it's there. And it just builds up and builds up and builds up and builds up because you never talk to them about it. That's why it's important that we talk. That's why it's important that we have those, I call them those hard conversations. Those kinds that almost make your stomach hurt when you start them. Right? But they're important. They're the most profitable ones you can have. Amen. Especially the ones where you find out you're wrong. Those are always good. Amen. When you find out you're wrong, those are always good. Because you can humble yourself and make it right. Boy, I'd hate for something with my children as I raise my children. I'd hate for something to not be my fault and to be somebody else's. Because then I can't absolutely do anything about it. Neither can my wife. We're just now. I know. I realize we have to rely upon the Lord, and I realize people, if a child wants to rebel, they'll do it. I understand that. What I'm saying to you though is that I shouldn't make it easy for them to. I should do all I can so they don't. And if they do, then I've still done right. Amen? That's important. It's important. Winning children's heart is something that needs to be done when they are young by spending time with them, teaching them, and developing interests together with them. Do not put them aside for work or for your hobbies that do not allow them to be around. Do not think that you'll be able to win their hearts after you've allowed someone else to win them. I believe that parents can reach the hearts of their children by having a relationship with them. That is, after all, how God reaches us and gets our heart for Him. Parents in today's societies have too little time for their children. Even when children are homeschooled, my experience is that the majority of the homeschool kids are teaching themselves. My 9-year-old son is always coming up to me and asking me to do something with me. Now, I can't always, but if I never took the time to say, okay, let's sit down and play a game, then he would want nothing to do with me because he would see that I want nothing to do with him. We must make time to put down what we are doing and sit down with our children. We parents have to take the time to raise our children. That means spending time with them in God's word and out of God's word. Both. We believe that one thing that has worked for us has been just staying very, very involved in the child's life, said one. Showing an interest, talking to her, making sure she knows that she is the most important earthly thing we have, loving her. We've always wanted her to feel that we are open to and can discuss anything with her. As a result, she feels completely comfortable talking to us about just about everything, or for really embarrassing stuff to her mother. Amen. There are conversations that I will never have with my daughters, and I thank God for that. My wife is there to have those conversations, right? But not me. And that's those kind of talks that only mothers and daughters have. Amen. But there's going to be talks for your sons that'll have that they'll only have with their father. Amen. That's the way it goes. Number 7, the heart can be stolen by lack of involvement by the father. This is stressed again and more specifically because a father is a leader. It's very important. We've already mentioned the necessity of involvement by the parents, but here we want to emphasize the importance of the father's role. One of the most important ways to keep the children's heart is for the father to be involved in their lives and to be fulfilling his responsibility. Turn to Malachi chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse number 6. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Amen. It says that Elijah, that spirit of Elijah, shall come and will turn the hearts of the fathers, right? We see when the father's heart is turned to the children, their hearts are turned to him. If a father has been unengaged with his children, he must repent of his sin and confess it to his family and set out to make things right. You know, there's been times in my, as a father, and that I wasn't focused on my home as much as I should have been. And I'm going to tell you, I got to tell you, God is so merciful to me. He is very merciful to me. And because I know men that are out of the ministry, lost their family, they're gone. And God chose to rather give me some afflictions. And I would rather have affliction than sin. I would rather have the afflictions of God, the rod of affliction. I would rather have chastening than to be in sin. I would rather have that any day. And, you know, I've dealt with anxiety and depression and all these other things that God has allowed me to have, and I would much rather have those. But you know what? The Lord used those things in my life to kind of reset some things and to look at it and to slow down and to take a look and to be careful with my children. and to look at my family and to look at my home and to look at my marriage and to look at everything and be cautious and be careful. Right? And to pay attention. Watch. That's right. And God is merciful that he would do such a thing. You know what? He gives you the same warnings. You just have to look for them. I would say this to you. When you see struggles with your children or you see challenges, you see there, that is a time that God is speaking to you and telling you to pay more attention to your home. Pay more attention to your children and pay more attention to your marriage. That's what God is telling you. It's not that you're going to lose everything, all is lost, it's all terrible. No, what he's saying to you is pay attention. He's calling you to a repentance and to slow down, pay attention, weigh your actions, because he loves you and he loves your family and he wants your children to turn out for him. And whether you listen to that or not is up to you. But you won't be able to say that God never warned you. When there's a problem in a church, in the body, with a member, it means that extra attention has to be given to that member. Because if it is, you know, then what happens is you'll focus on that when there's a schism or there's a problem in the body, when somebody's hurting, when something's going on, then you focus more attention on that until it gets better. That's what God wants. That's the same thing with your marriage and your home. It's the same exact thing. That's the way God made it. Amen? So just remember that. We reach and keep the hearts of the children because of our relationship with them. It is their love for us, just as is our love for the Lord and Savior, which will cause them to continue to respect us and listen to us. He said, I think back to my own experiences growing up. My earliest memories are of my dad reading me the Bible when I was very young. He cared about our neighbors. I'll never forget him sending my brothers and me out to rake our 90-year-old neighbor's yard. Alongside my dad, he would also shovel his walkway in the winter. Dad made sure we never accepted money for helping out the neighbors. He always had us looking for ways to help those around us. Dad always took the time to sit and talk to me about everything and anything. He was my best friend when I was a teenager. I always felt I could go to him and talk to him about anything. He was very clear about what was sin. And as a result of his teaching me, I also knew very clearly what was displeasing or pleasing to God. Because of my love and respect for my dad as well as for God, I didn't stray to sinful practices which were prevalent in the 70s. I didn't want to disappoint either my dad or my heavenly father, even while at a secular college, Brown University, which is an apostate college, by the way. I devoted myself to my studies, not participating in the darker side of campus life. He said, one pastor told me that no matter what he is doing with his son, even watching a DVD movie, they discuss what is going on. The father points out things that he sees that are spiritually dangerous, and he encourages his son to state his opinions freely. He is teaching his son how to exercise moral and spiritual discernment. The Bible says that spiritual growth comes when the senses are exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, it's interesting, like, I don't believe in watching any of that Hollywood junk. I believe it's all from hell. But it's some of the classical and different books that my son will read and my daughters will read, they'll talk about it and they'll be able to show us the things that disagree with the Word of God, right? They're able to look at that and be like, yeah, this isn't right, or that's not right, or that's, you know, we don't believe that, and we believe that's wrong. You're teaching them to exercise discernment. You teach children discernment. They don't come with it. Amen. You teach it to them. You have to. You teach it. Amen. This pastor and his wife are working to maintain the type of relationship with their children that will encourage them to discuss their struggles and temptations freely. This father encourages his children to share their hearts during family devotions. The kids have grown up from a young age conversing with their parents about their most inmost concerns. It has become a natural thing and has carried over as they have gotten older. If this communication is jealously guarded and maintained, when the children reach adolescence, they will still share their hearts with their parents, and their worldly generation gap will be bridged. The parents will be able to guide their teenage youth through the great pitfalls that characterize this particular time of life. Some fathers take their children on regular dates. One man told me that a few things thrills his young daughters more than their dates with dad. He observed that this has helped him keep their hearts. You know, taking them out once in a while and just, you know, and sitting and talking with them somewhere. Spending time with them. Sons need that. Daughters need that. Amen? They both need that. Just a few minutes. You know, even a half an hour's time. It doesn't have to be a long time. But to have those talks and those discussions, they're important. Amen? Children remember those things. They won't forget the time you spent with them. See, I'm not that type of person. I don't really talk like that. Well, learn to. God didn't say you were that type of person. He said for you to be involved in your children's life. You don't have to be that type of person. And, you know, there's some that are going to be more open than others, and it'll seem foreign to them to do that. Well, that's all right. This whole book is foreign if you're walking in the flesh and not walking in the spirit. But we're called to be different people. Amen. We want our children to be different. We want them to grow up different than the world's children. Amen. We want them to grow up, so we want to invest in their lives. We want to spend time with them and do that. It don't have to be a long amount of time either, but it needs to be there. It's important. Amen. And as they grow older, it's even more important that they have that time, right? It is. You should guard that time and be jealous over it. Amen? And have that time. You know, it's important. You know, same thing with your son. You know, take your son, do things with him. Same type of idea. It's going to be different, obviously, but same type of idea. You know, it's important to do that. There's, especially daughters during their teen years as they get older. You know, that they have that strong relationship with the father. You know, that they have it. They need it. They need to know what kind of man to marry, Dad. Amen. Mm-hmm. Come on. I know this, it cuts pretty good. But it's good for us. It's good for us. Amen. Number 8, the heart can be stolen when there's a lack of candor and confession and humility on the part of the parents. Okay. If you're never wrong, your children are never going to think they're wrong either. If you're never wrong, then neither are they for doing what they do when they rebel against you. Are you listening to me? They're not wrong either. Hey, well, whatever. I'm not doing wrong. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. See, have you ever had to apologize to your children? Have you ever had to ask them for forgiveness? Boy, I have. I'm willing to bet. Well, I shouldn't bet. I'm not going to bet, but I believe, say that differently, I believe that there is no perfect parent in this room, obviously, and there's been times that you've wronged your children. You've handled something not right. If your children always think you're right and you're never wrong, or you think you're never wrong, then it's because that's what you've showed them. And if you're never wrong, then how they deal with their siblings is never wrong. No matter if you punish them for the very same thing that you do. It builds up a hardness and it harbors anger in their hearts, bitterness, and they get mad about it. Because they're like, you know what? Dad or mom don't ever think they do anything wrong. I mean, all I'm doing is yelling like they yelled. All I'm doing is doing what they did. And this is like real. This is like real where the rubber meets the road stuff, isn't it? But it's true. It's practical application of submitting yourself one to another in the fear of the Lord. It's practical application of confessing your faults. You know what? There's been times I've had to sit down my children. I'm sorry, children. I reacted wrong to this. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have acted like that. I shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. There's no defense for it, and there's no, I'm not, there's nothing. It wasn't right. I didn't handle that correctly. I was wrong about that. Man, I'm going to tell you something right now. That goes way farther than your picture of perfection that you try to play off. Children will always forgive your sins. But if you become a hypocrite and you're never wrong, it builds up in their heart. And that's exactly the same spirit they're going to have with everybody else, that they're never wrong either. Mm-hmm. But you know what? When you humble yourself and say, you know what, I was wrong, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that, they'll forgive you. They will forgive you. But if you paint it off like you were, that you didn't do anything wrong, they're going to do the same thing. Same exact thing. If you're never wrong on how you discipline, if you've never been wrong, if you've never been wrong about how you've handled a situation, if you've never lost your temper, if you've never gotten angry. I had one man tell me that it wasn't a sin for him to get angry with his family and do all that. He literally told me that to my face. That it was, God said, be angry and sin not. So, you know, yelling and cussing and being mad and angry and bitter, and that's not sin. I'm telling you as a professing Christian that told me that. What's that? No, he didn't. Yeah. Yeah, it is 101. That's right. Yep. But he told me that that it was okay, that it wasn't wrong for him to act that way. And I looked over at his children. And I just, and that man told me it was the worst meeting he ever had in his entire life with any preacher. I was like, I bet, because I'm the first one that ever told you what you were doing was sin. That it wasn't okay to treat people like that. I bet you did hate it. Because everybody else was too afraid to tell you that. And I just looked you square in your eyeballs and told you, you can't treat people like that. That's not right. You can't treat people like nothing they ever do for you is good enough. You can't do that. It has a lasting impact on your children to treat them that way. They'll grow up with feelings that they'll never be good enough for anybody. They'll never be good enough for a husband. They'll never be good enough for a wife. They'll never do anything good enough. They feel like they're inferior. Can't do that. But I ended up being the bad guy. Number 9, the heart can be stolen when there are rules without a clear biblical basis and the children are not taught the reason for the rules. We got to teach our children why we hold to what we do. Right? We can't just have rules. We have biblically based convictions. Right? Well, think about it this way. These churches, that all they teach people do is come to the women to come to church in a skirt. And that's all they teach you. If you're going to work, you have to wear a skirt. And that's all they teach. They don't teach them anything. What do those kids grow up with? They grow up like, well, I'm not going to do this because all you do it for is at church. I mean, it's no big deal. You don't teach them any biblical basis of modesty, of cross-dressing, of any of those other things that the Bible clearly states. Why? Because the pastor's afraid to teach them. Because they'll get mad like that. It sounds like Alex Jones's sigh. That's what it sounds like he's doing back there. It sounds like, Jacob, what do you even let your children watch back there anyway, man? Huh? Yeah, yeah, right. He's an app. That's what you call it. It's too much, isn't it? Yeah, that's why we don't have a, our nursery is actually for nursing babies. Our children are in the church with us. That's, yeah, amen. So we like to hear, so on the, all the videos and all the audios that we do, everybody hears all the kids scream. They hear, and the adults sometimes, but they hear them all, right? It's great. People love it. Anyway, but they have to be taught a reason for the rules, that we have biblical convictions. When a child questions them, thank him for asking and give the scriptural reasons. Reassure the children that it's always good to come to the parents with questions. I mean, about modesty, about anything. They ought to be able to come to their parents and ask them, Dad, why do we do this? Mom, why do we do this? Why do we do this? Other people get to do this. Why do we do this? Or so-and-so's family does this, but we don't. Why? Or the neighbor people do this, and we don't do that. Always be willing to listen to them. Give honest answers to their questions. It shows them respect. Respect their opinions. There's nothing wrong with that. Oh, you're a kid. You know, you just do what you're told. That only goes so far, because then when they're 18, guess what, 19, 20, they'll just tell us they're not going to do it anymore and they're gone. So we want to try to encourage them to ask questions. Encourage them to talk. And you find out what's in their heart. You find out what's there. And then you can deal with it. Amen. You can deal with what's there. You can help them, but you don't know if they won't talk to you. Right? Because you're not talking to them. Don't always hammer at them about right and wrong, but also explain to them why some things are right and why some things are wrong. We gotta ask, we gotta talk to them. We have to. We tell them how that God wants to protect us from the consequences of bad choices if we'll be wise enough to choose the right way. God doesn't want us to fall for any of the consequence of the world's actions. He doesn't want us to go through that, right? Number 10, the heart can be stolen when the children are not saved and grounded in God's word, and when they do not know how to apply God's word to their daily lives. If they don't have a real personal relationship with Christ, that's why I asked my son, are you reading your Bible? Have you been in your Bible? My children that are able to read, are you reading your Bible? Have you been in it? Ask them what they're reading. Ask them what they've been reading. Ask them what God's been showing them. Ask them what they've learned. Amen. It's important. Find out where they're at. Spiritually, it's important to help them. Children who do not have a real personal relationship with Christ and are not grounded in God's word, they're prime candidates to have their hearts stolen by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Number 11, the heart can be stolen when there's a lack of prayer. Fervent, effectual prayer is one of the most important ways that the children's hearts are kept for the Lord. We got to pray. As a church, as fathers, as mothers. You know, I hope that, listen, if you see, you see these children around here, you see children that aren't yours, and you may think, well, that child did this or that child did that. It was probably mine, but if they did, but you know what? Let me ask you a question. Are you praying for those children though? Are you praying for your own? And are you praying for other people's? You might think, well, that child shouldn't do that, or maybe that parent should be watching them closer to this. Yeah, but are you praying for them? And I hope you are. Because we should look around at all these children and we should be praying for these families. We should be praying for everyone's child. Don't you want all of them to cross the finish line? Don't you want all of them to make it home? Right? So we got to fight for it, and we got to do it through prayer. Don't let pettiness and everything else get to you. Don't let disagreements about this parent does this or this parent does, don't you do that. You pray for those people. You pray for those children. They're precious in the sight of God, and God loves them, and he wants them to be saved. He wants them to go to heaven. He wants them to have a new life in Christ here. And the ones that have strayed away, you pray for them. You bombard them with prayer until God answers. Amen. He will answer one way or another. Amen. He will. God doesn't ignore the prayers of his saints. He listens to them. Amen. So we need to make sure of that. We need to be praying in our homes, together as families, and in our church. Number 12, the heart can be stolen by a worldly friend, a relative, or a teacher. You know, parents must jealously and lovingly guard against unwholesome relationships. Listen, let me tell you something. I'll give you an example of this. I had, when my son was younger, I have a family member, and it's nobody here, but another family member that they like to buy extravagant and big gifts for children and for people to, you know, so they leave that mark and impression. It's manipulation is what it is. You know, and it's the purpose that they're doing is not just to be loving. Do you understand? Right, exactly. It's to try to influence in that way a young child, you know, and to give some type of extravagant gift like that in order to win their heart. And their hearts can be stolen like that, you know. Parents should be the most, they should be spending the most time with their own children. There comes a time when our young men get a little bit older, and our young men, they need to be around other men learning things, you know, things that, you know, Brother Dave can teach him, things that Brother Paul knows how to do, things that Brother Lee knows how to do, that Brother Scott knows. There's nothing wrong with that. You learn from men. They learn, our young men. But the point is that the main influencer of your children's life ought to be you. And you ought not let anyone take that place. You guard that jealously. I think I said that word right. You guard it. You don't let anybody else take that. Because people will try. I watched it growing up. Different uncles and different people try to do those things. I watched it. And parents just hand it over, not realizing what they're doing. And then their heart is split, the child's. Confused. Causes confusion, right? So be careful about that. Guard against unwholesome relationships that draw the children's heart away from them and toward evil. Number 13, the heart can be stolen by the world's pop music and its self-centered rebellious philosophy. Now, we've preached long ago, and I've taught you, and there'll probably come a time when I need to teach again, because our children are getting older, and they need to understand pop culture, and they need to understand to hate it. Amen. They need to understand the truth of it, that it's Antichrist. And I'm going to have to teach on rock music again and rap music and all those other things. Yep. I'm going to have to teach on some of it. Because you say, well, my kids never listened to it, so they're going to grow up. Yeah, but you know what? As they grow up and these young men get in the workforce, they're going to be introduced to all kinds of things. And they need to know the truth that God hates that. Yep. God hates that pop culture. It's wicked. So we need to train our children so they understand it. So they know that there's nothing glamorous about rock music. There's nothing glamorous about Hollywood. Nothing glamorous about the pop culture. It's important. So we need to teach on that, because their hearts can be stolen through that. They just be attracted to the world by it. Number 14, the heart can be stolen by a worldly school environment, whether Christian or secular. That's true. But if the environment is your home, school, then that won't be a problem if your family's walking with the Lord. But if you send your kids to a Christian school and to a public school, I don't like Christian school movements. I'm not very fond of them. The experience that I had when I was a child and the experience that I've seen working in a ministry that had one, I don't give you a whole lot for Christian schools. I'm sorry, I just don't. No one's going to take care of your children like you will. No one. They won't. Number 15, the heart can be stolen by an evil influence that comes through literature or video games. What does that mean? Screen what your children read? Screen what they play? Screen what they do? Right. Books are dangerous. The wrong books kill. Right? Remember that sermon I preached on the wrong music will kill you? Musical suicide? Same thing goes for music, video games, videos, any of that stuff. The wrong stuff can lead you astray. It can steal their heart, right? So we got to screen what they're doing. We got to know what they're doing. Know what they're looking at. Number 16, the heart can be stolen by carnal affection for sports, which becomes a bridge to the world. You know, it's interesting because I remember when I was at the sending church that I came from, I remember how I would watch children leave the service or come late or leave the service due to sports. You know, they were going out playing sports and they wouldn't be at church because of sports. And people that had to watch the World Series or Super Bowl or all these other things, right? And you have churches that, you know, that's a good way to lose, to show children like this absolute hypocrisy, to get them caught up in the sports movement. That'll do it too. There are a few examples that the hearts of children can be stolen by the way of righteousness, from the way of righteousness and truth. Consider the Bible examples of how David lost the heart of his son Absalom. We read this sad story in 2 Samuel 11 through 15. First, David sinned grievously in the matter of Bathsheba and lost his testimony before his family. Second, David fell for Amnon's lie and sent Tamar, Absalom's sister, to his room. After Amnon raped Tamar, David was angry, but he did not apologize to Absalom or exercise discipline or deal with the problem in a practical way, as far as we know from Scripture. Third, after Absalom murdered Amnon and fled away, David longed for him, but he did not send for him and deal personally with him. Fourth, even when David let Absalom return, he refused to talk with him. Fifth, after Absalom burned Joab's barley field, Joab convinced David to see Absalom, but it was too late. By that point, Absalom's heart was totally estranged from his father and filled with hatred, and he had determined to steal his father's throne. How did David lose his son's heart? He lost it through at least six of the ways listed previously. Through hypocrisy, neglect, poor husband-wife relationship. It's doubtful that David's polygamy would have provided the climate for a quality husband and wife relationship. Lack of confession and humility, and lack of communication and lack of discipline. See, we see examples through the scriptures of those many ways that it's possible for us to lose the heart of our children. And the best thing we can do is pray and trust the Lord, be consistent before them, converse with our children, talk to them, be affectionate, loving towards their mother and towards them. Spend time with them. Invest into their lives. Teach them the Word of God from the home. Have them in a good biblical church where they're listening to the Word of God preached, where people are living consistent lives for the Lord. Admit when we're wrong. Ask forgiveness for when we're wrong. Get things right when we need to. These are things that are very important. And by the way, the hardest heart of a child will be softened by those very things. They will not resist a humble and contrite spirit. If you become broken before them, they will melt. They will. I don't care how hard they are, it'll start melting their hearts. Why? Because that's the way God made us. And children have an innocence about them. And if you're wrong, then you know what? You admit they're wrong. You admit you're wrong. And you get it right with them. And you pray with them. And you ask them to forgive you. and you begin to make some, implement these changes in your life and in your home, if you begin to, you're going to see God start to thaw their hearts. Why? Because God's word is true. And we believe it. We believe what he said. And it's, and by the way, it's never too late for you to do right. Man, I can think of a bunch of mistakes out of these 16, 17 things we went over. A bunch of things that I've done wrong. I'm sure you can too. But I know one thing. I can sure work on doing a lot of them right. Right? And I can redeem the time that I have now, for the days are evil. And I can do all that I can do to glorify God. Amen? Amen. And see it in the lives of my children. Man, I feel like it's early. It's only 4:23. How long did that take? Was it a little over an hour? About an hour and 20 minutes, probably. Did it seem longer? Amen, it is good stuff. Did it seem longer, Dave? It is a lot to think about. See, I get it a couple times because I have to review and go over everything, and I. But you know, there's things that I have seen that I look at my own family, and that I have a desire to work on and to see and to do what I can. I thank God for his mercy that we're able to. That's what we have to remember. We always have room for improvement in this Christian life. That's right. Always, always, always. And God is merciful to give us that time. You know, he's merciful to do that. And we ought to thank him for it. Amen? We ought to praise the Lord for it. And anyway, so that concludes that on the heart. The heart of the child and keeping the heart of the child. And children, let me say this to you. You ought to have a desire to give your heart to your parents. And that you'll submit and you'll follow them. And you've got to be born again also to be able to understand that better. You've got to have your sins forgiven and ask Jesus to save your soul, and he will. And if you are saved, then you need to determine that you're going to follow the Lord no matter what. That you are going to follow God, and you're going to follow your parents as they follow the Lord. And you're going to obey your parents, and you're going to love them. And your parents are going to say things, children, to you sometimes you don't want to hear. And they're going to lead you in ways that you don't want to go sometimes. But if you'll love the Lord and you'll love your parents, you'll be blessed. God will bless your days on this earth. That's the first commandment with promise, the Bible says, right?
That's right.
That's what it is. That's God's promise. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we thank you for this day. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And for the word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And dear God, it sure does pierce through. It sure does divide asunder. And it shows us our errors. It shows us where we need to get right. And Lord, it shows us that we have a lot to work on in this Christian life. And that our children are a heritage of the Lord. They're a gift from God. And they're a blessing from God. And that we ought to trust the Lord with their lives. And we ought to do all that we can do as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, that we would raise them right for you. Oh God, please help us. Please guide us and direct us and use us. And Lord, we just thank you for the teaching. We thank you for the assembly of the saints. We thank you that we can be here together as a church. Bless us now, Lord, we pray. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.